I was listening to a sermon today, praying, following along in Scripture. I don't even know where this came from. I mean, I know it came from the Lord, what I'm going to share with you tonight. But it didn't have anything to do with the sermon I was hearing. It was almost like the Holy Spirit was saying, okay, since you're in the mood right now, let me tell you some things. And he takes me over to Matthew chapter 6, and I'm going to read to you quite a bit of what he said. And when I was writing it down, I wrote it from the perspective of like me talking as opposed to the Holy Spirit speaking to us. And you'll understand as we go through it. But Matthew chapter 6, verse 24. No man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. Therefore, I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what you shall eat or what you shall drink, nor yet for your body, what you shall put on. Is not the life more than meat, and the body than raiment? Behold the fowls of the air, for they sow not, neither do they reap, nor gather into barns, yet your heavenly Father feedeth them. Are ye not much better than they? Which of you, by taking thought, can add one cubit unto his stature? And why take ye thought for raiment? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They toil not, neither do they spin. And yet I say unto you, that even Solomon, in all his glory, was not arrayed like one of these. Wherefore, if God so clothe the grass of the field, which today is, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, shall he not much more clothe you, O ye of little faith? Therefore, take no thought, saying, what shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or wherewithal shall we be clothed? For after all these things do the Gentiles seek. For your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. What happened, I'm praying and so forth, and he begins bringing this to my attention, and it's almost like on the inside he opened my Bible before I even opened it. It was like he opened my Bible and was showing this to me. You know how it is, and you know everything where it's located in your Bible, right? You get somebody else's Bible, you can't find anything. So I'm glad he opened my Bible. I knew where to look. But it was like he opened it, and I'm looking at this, and it's kind of like he was saying, do you see that? Do you see that? Now, those weren't his exact words, but that was kind of like what was happening here. And I'm looking at this. He's talking about basically what you have in life. You know, today we might say things like, take no thought for what you eat, what you wear, where you live, what you drive. You know what I'm saying here. And he says in verse 32, for your heavenly Father knoweth that ye have need of all these things. And he pointed that out to me, and he said, God already knows. Your Father already knows. And then it hit me. If he already knows, why do I need to go to him and tell him I need this stuff? You see what I'm saying? If my Father knows I need these things, why do I need to go tell him that I need these things? I need some clothes. I need whatever, food, whatever. I need it. Why go to him and tell him what I need relative to this? Why do that? He already knows. So if I go to him and I say, oh, Father, I need some food. I need, go through the list. He just sit there and say, I know. I know. I know. I know. I already knew before you came and asked me. I know. It's like, well, okay. You already know. And he says, but now I want you to look at the next verse. 33. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Okay, now verse 32 is something that I know, correct? In other words, Jesus has gone through this list and he said, why take thought? Take thought, or don't you know, why do you get worried? Why do you get concerned? Why do you get worked up over these things? What things? The things you know you need, right? So I already know these things that lead up to, you know, verse 32. I already know the verse 32 things. God already knows the verse 32 things. But when we get into verse 33, look here. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. If I already knew the verse 33 stuff, He wouldn't be telling me to seek it. Do you see what I'm getting at? If I already knew what He knows, the way He knows what I know, then I would not ask for what He has already said He knows I need. Are you following me? That's why He says, verse 32, you know what you need, and your Father knows what you need. But, verse 33, He already knows the kingdom, but you don't. If you did, then you wouldn't be taking thought for all of these things. And if you did know the kingdom, then guess what? You would realize that all these things shall be added unto you. The very reason that I'm taking thought is because I don't know verse 33. The reason I keep going to Him and asking Him for the things that He knows I need is because I don't know verse 33 and I don't believe He is verse 32. If I believe He already knows these things. Okay, you know how husbands complain about, you know, well, the wife, she just nags, right? Have you ever thought that maybe God turns to Jesus now and then and says, all they do is nag? I know what they need. I already know what they need. Listen to this. He wants us to know what we don't know. If we already knew verse 33, we wouldn't be chasing after verses 24 through 31 because we would know all those things will be added unto us. He says, seek verse 33. Verse 33 is the answer to 24 through 31, so you won't be taking thought. You won't be worried about these things. Listen to this. Before we're born again, we can know there is a kingdom, and we can know about the kingdom. How many people sit in services where they teach about the kingdom? And they're lost. So we can hear that there is a kingdom. And we can hear about the kingdom. But we can never know the kingdom until we have a spirit that is of the kingdom. Having a spirit that is of the kingdom gives us the ability to comprehend the kingdom. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, it says, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. So therefore, here I am lost, and I can be sitting in a church like this, and they're teaching about the kingdom, they're preaching about the kingdom and so forth, and I'm hearing all of this. And so there's a lot of information that's been, you know, spoken to me. I know there's a kingdom. I know about the kingdom. But I can't know the kingdom until I have a spirit that is of the kingdom. Well, how do I get that spirit that is of the kingdom? I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior. I become born again. And now I have a kingdom spirit. Once I have a kingdom spirit, I can then know and comprehend the things of the kingdom. Until then, I can't. Because as it says again further in 1 Corinthians chapter 2, these things are spiritually discerned. A lost person cannot comprehend these things. Do you know what's really bad? It's when Christians don't know any more than lost people when it comes to the kingdom. You say, well, now all Christians know more. No, they don't. You may be in it, but you don't know anything about it. What if tomorrow you moved into a house that was 10,000 square feet, had like 8 bedrooms, 8 bathrooms, 6-car garage, swimming pool. I mean, you know, you got stuff all over. Would you know where anything is? You could stand there in the living room and say, oh, hallelujah, glory to God. Look what the Lord has given to me. My goodness, 10,000 square feet of heaven on earth. This is incredible. And there's somebody standing there with you and say, well, yeah, I tell you what, man, what a blessing. By the way, I need to use the bathroom. You can look at them and say, good luck. I just got here myself. So you're looking at somebody who doesn't live there, and the person who doesn't live there is talking to somebody who does live there, but the person who does live there has no clue where the bathroom is. And what if the person who does live there never leaves the kitchen, or never leaves the living room, or never leaves the garage? They're still not going to know where the bathroom is. Or they'll know where one of them is, maybe, but not the other 6, or the other 7, or whatever. That's the way it is in the kingdom. For so many believers, praise God, we're in the kingdom. And you start asking them about the kingdom, they have no clue. It isn't that they can't know. Because now that we're Christians, now that we're born again, we have a spirit that can comprehend the thing. It's not just know, and not just know about, but comprehend the things of the kingdom. There is only one written source of kingdom information. Would you like to know what that written source is? It's the Bible. That's it. There are a lot of books that are written by Christians. Many of them are good. Everything that is written about who we are in Christ, about what we have in Christ, about the kingdom, if the book is a good book, meaning it doesn't get off into weird doctrine, if it's a good book, all the information in that book has as its foundational basis the Bible. Nothing else. That's it. There is no other written document outside the Bible which contains information about the kingdom. The Bible is the only written source. That's it. Along with that, there is only one spiritual source of kingdom information. Would you like to guess what that spiritual source is? The Holy Spirit. That's it. There's only one written source of kingdom information, the Bible. There is only one spiritual source of kingdom information, the Holy Spirit. That's it. You say, well, what about God and Jesus? Don't get technical with me. You know what I'm talking about. And besides, Jesus is the one who said the Holy Spirit would be teaching us and guiding us into all truth. So the Holy Spirit is our teacher. The Holy Spirit is the one spiritual source of kingdom information. So what we have then, written form, it's the Bible. Spiritual form, the Holy Spirit. That's it. That's it. There's nothing else available to us. Nothing. The information about the kingdom is contained in Scripture. Without digging in the Word and studying to show ourselves approved unto God, it is impossible to sow into our spirit what we need to know about the kingdom. Now, let me say this again. The information about the kingdom is contained in Scripture. Without digging in the Word and studying to show ourselves approved unto God, it is impossible to sow into our spirit what we need to know about the kingdom. If the Word is the only source, Jesus said, the sower sows the Word. If the Word is our only source and we neglect it, I mean, how many times, you, me, how many times have we said, well, you know, starting tomorrow, I'm going to read my Bible for an hour today, hour every day. You wait. Yeah, how long did that last? This is it. Jesus said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added to you. Well, if the Bible is my only written source of the kingdom information, how in the world can I say I'm seeking first the kingdom if I'm not getting into the Bible? I'm guilty of this as much as anybody. I can't. We cannot say we're sowing kingdom information into our spirits if we're neglecting the Word. There's no way that I can impress upon you how this has been impressed upon me. And the Holy Spirit wants to drive this home. The Bible is the only written source of kingdom information. Outside the Bible, there is no other written source. When we write about the kingdom, we're basically rewording what's contained in Scripture. But the Bible is the only written source. Well, the Holy Spirit is the spiritual source. As we pray in the Spirit, the Holy Spirit will break down and explain the Word we have sown into our spirit. Praying in tongues enables the Holy Spirit to transfer the comprehension and understanding of both the Word and the kingdom to our spirit, where it is then transferred to our conscious understanding. The more we know about the kingdom, the more we will know how things are added unto us. If I don't know how they're added unto me, if I don't believe they'll be added unto me, then what will I do? I will take thought. I will go to God, and I will keep telling Him what He already knows I need. And I will be telling Him from the perspective that He doesn't know it. You know what I'm talking about. How many times have we gone to God and we start telling Him everything we need like He doesn't know? God, I got to have food. God, I got to have gas with Carl. God, please, please. And He's saying, seek first the kingdom. All these things will be added unto you. Do you understand Matthew 6:33 is a spiritual law? Do you understand this? What is the reverse? If you do not seek first the kingdom of God, then all these things will not be added unto you. Is it possible that so many Christians are living and struggling with lack because they're not seeking first the kingdom? If God says, seek first the kingdom of God and all these things will be added unto you, then from God's perspective, you know, boom, He's the eternal judge. He's dropped the gavel on this one. It is kingdom constitutional law. And there's not going to be an amendment. Oops, change my mind. Let's vote on this one. There will be no amendment to the kingdom constitution. This is how it works. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. He didn't say, seek ye first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, then ask, and all these things shall be added unto you. He didn't say that. He said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and these things will be added unto you. In other words, the more I know about the kingdom, well, like it says right here, the more we know about the kingdom, the more we'll know how things are added unto us. See, the more I know that, the less I'm going to be asking. Because I will understand that the kingdom law is, they will be added unto me. I don't have to know how. I just know they will. Because this is kingdom law. And you're not going to change it. So if I don't seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, these things won't be added unto me. You say, well, things are okay. Bills are paid, got food, got clothes, you know, gas in the car, blah, blah, blah. Okay. What is it, that one restaurant, have it your way? Go ahead and have it your way. But if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, you know what? You don't know what isn't being added to you. Everything that could be added to your life is not being added because you're not seeking first the kingdom. This is going to sound a little contradictory in a way, but one of the worst things that could ever happen to a Christian is to have all their needs met. You say, what do you mean by that? For so many Christians, once they get to a place of comfort, they stop asking, they stop seeking, they stop praying, because you know, I got a job, got money, got a paycheck, got some money in the savings account, got a nice house, heat's on, electric's on, you know, air conditioning's on, you know, blah, 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 on and on it goes. He never said, stop seeking the kingdom. He just said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, you know what? I don't want to be comfortable in my comfort. You know, there was a song years ago, I don't remember the name of it, but there was a phrase in there where it said, we've become comfortably numb. I think it was talking about doing drugs or something like that. It was, yeah, see, you got, oh, repent, repent, repent. They knew who it was, all you who are watching. I know none of you watching or listening to this knew who that group was, okay? But we've got people in this church, oh my goodness, I don't know what they listen to. I better preach on that one, huh? How did I know? I was walking by Radio Shack one day. What happens, really, is that as Christians, we become comfortably numb in our comfort. We figure everything's going okay. We forget to seek first the kingdom of God. Well, no matter how okay everything is for you, if you're not seeking first the kingdom of God, we need to understand things are not being added to us. He's telling you right here, seek first the kingdom of God. All these things will be added. Yeah, but I don't need any of this stuff. Maybe you don't, but somebody you know does. Let it be added to you and then you give it to them. Turn it into a blessing. But this is a kingdom law. He didn't say, you know, when you reach a certain level of having, you will know no more will be added. He didn't say that. He says, here's kingdom law. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. Now, if I've got a garage full of added unto me things, and you're struggling, I can go out to my storehouse and I can give to you. I can unload onto you. That's the way things are added. They don't come from angels. You know, it's crazy. So many Christians, I don't know what they think. I don't know where they think stuff comes from. God, and I shared this before, some people kind of look at me like, do what? God has never given anybody money. But God has moved on people to give other people money. God has moved on people to give other people jobs, other people clothes, other people cars, other people and so on and so forth. That's how it works. So if I seek first the kingdom of God, I can turn around and not just give to my church, but I can give to you too. I can bless people that need it. Well, the Holy Spirit wants to bring forth God's life in us to a place of dominion over all other things. He wants to help us live totally by the kingdom and its operation as we are in this world, in the same way that Jesus lived totally by the kingdom when He walked the earth. Everything Jesus needed was supplied to Him through people. Some way, somehow. You know, it talked about all these people that ministered unto Him out of their substance. And one of the worst things we can do is assume that it was only money. They ministered to Him out of their substance. That doesn't mean that they... It can mean that all they did was give Him money. But it can also mean they took their money and bought things and gave Him things. So it doesn't mean it was only money. Could mean that, but it doesn't have to mean that. Thing is, when He walked this earth, He walked according to kingdom law. And because He walked according to kingdom law, everything was added unto Him. He always had a place to sleep. He always had a place to eat. He always had, I mean, everything. Whatever came up. And not only that, but when there were people around Him that needed, they were the beneficiaries of Him seeking first the kingdom. Well, think about it. The 5,000 plus that were fed? Sure. He sought first the kingdom, and thousands of people got fed. That's a deal. How'd you like... Hey, How'd you like to have a covered dish dinner after church and nobody brings anything? But somebody just speaks a blessing over a happy meal. And the next thing you know, everybody's got hamburgers and french fries. Now, I know that sounds crazy, but you're capturing the imagery here. So the Holy Spirit wants to bring forth God's life in us to a place of dominion over all other things. That's a kingdom life that's in us. Without interaction with the Word and the Holy Spirit, it will be impossible for us to come to the place of understanding the kingdom the way God desires. It can't happen. As Christians, we've been led to believe it can happen. But if the only written source is the Bible and the only spiritual source is the Holy Spirit, without interaction with both the Holy Spirit and the Word, it can happen. Well, you know, if you're the devil, what do you want to do? You want to get people to not do anything with their Bible, and you want to keep them from praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, how do you do that? Well, you just tell them that tongues are of you. Just tell them tongues aren't for today. And already you have eliminated half of the source of information. Well, without interaction with the Word and the Holy Spirit, we will be left to the mercy of our own reasoning and the religious reasonings of men. That's it. If you are not in the Word, interacting with the Word and the Holy Spirit, you are going to be totally dependent upon what you think and what you hear other people tell you they think. And look how that's worked over the years. Look at the mess we're in today. I mean, I can stand up and I can read things from the Bible in this church, and I can explain to you exactly what the words mean, therefore explaining what the verse means, or the passage or whatever it is. And there are people that attend this church that struggle with that. And the reason they struggle with it is because they're not interacting with the Word and the Holy Spirit. I can stand right here and break things down, keeping it all in context. And people will still walk away thinking, is that really true? Well, if you want to understand the kingdom, there's a kingdom book, we call it the Bible, and there's a kingdom spirit called the Holy Spirit. You understand what I mean? That's it. And it's impossible to come to an understanding about the kingdom if you don't interact with those two. None of us, I don't care who you are, you know, you can go to college and seminaries and all these other things, come out with degrees and ordinations and so forth, and you know, go in and start pastoring churches. But think about this. You've got Christian colleges and universities and seminaries all over the place that are turning out graduates and giving them degrees and ordaining them and sending them out into churches, and they have never taught them about the kingdom, the principles of the kingdom. They've never explained to them that the only written source is the Word of God and the only spiritual source is the Holy Spirit. But they're turning them out and they're sending them all over the place. They're sowing seeds of spiritual discord all over the place. And the only hope that Christians have to come to the place to understand the kingdom is the Bible and the Holy Spirit. That's it. When Jesus says, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you, if you don't do that, things aren't going to be added. But if you don't even know how to seek first the kingdom, hey, church attendance is great. But church attendance in and of itself is not seeking first the kingdom. I mean, think of all the people that you know who are in churches right now. They don't have a clue. They may be born again. We're trying to get some clues. Because He says, seek first the kingdom of God and these things will be added unto you. You can't not have them added. Okay, if you get on the highway and you get on I-75 South and you accelerate, what direction are you going to go? South. Okay, there's no way to get around that. You're going to go south. You don't have an option. If you you just keep driving. You're headed south. And whatever is south of where you are, eventually, you're going to get there. Seek first the kingdom of God. Head in the direction of the kingdom. And all these things will be added unto you. He listen to this. A Christian who has matured to the place of understanding the principles of the kingdom will never accept that he has to give in offerings before he can get blessed. Never. 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 Why? Because you know, if you seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, all these things will be added unto you. What's interesting, this is all material stuff. He's not talking, you know, spiritual mysteries. This is material stuff. Manifested blessings. Seek first the kingdom of God. These things will be added unto you. If I as a Christian have matured to the place of comprehending verse 33, I will never again in my life ever buy into God told me there's a thousandfold anointing for the next 15 minutes. Call in now. Pledge, give, sow to get this double, triple, stellar, universal increase. And may the force be with you. No. You'll never buy into that. Ever. All the people who... Boy. All the people who preach that, what does that tell you that they know about the kingdom? What does that tell you they know about these few verses we've read here in Matthew? If they stand up and tell you that if you don't give, you're not going to be blessed, what do they know then about getting needs met? Not as much as what they want you to think. But they've taken scripture, they've taken verses, they've used the name of Jesus, they've mimicked prophecies from the Holy Spirit. They've spoken out of emotions, and they've motivated people with feelings, and the people give. And the only people who gave are the ones who don't understand verse 33. What's it tell you about the general state of the body of Christ? And I'm not, seriously, please believe me, I'm not trying to be critical. I'm just bringing this to light. Because Jesus Christ, the one that we're told to trust for salvation, has said, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. That being true, how in the world am I going to sit back and think, oh yeah, I better sow. I better give in this offering. You know, better hop on it. I better call in and make my pledge. Yeah, but that program was recorded 2 years ago. Oh, so I guess the double whammy portion anointing is no longer in effect. Well, it might be. I mean, when we replay this, that anointing is released again. Because you think I'm joking? If they didn't think it would work to keep pulling in money, they wouldn't keep playing it. You know, I just wonder how much of that is literal shysterism. To where it's just about the money and it's not trying to help people. A Christian who has matured to the place of understanding the principles of the kingdom will never accept that he has to give in offerings before he can get blessed. When you understand the kingdom and your place of righteousness in the kingdom, you will live daily with the confidence that God will add to your life those things you have need of. You will not take thought over these things. Because you're going to know, number one, God knows I need them. Number two, God's going to come through.
But how's he going to do that?
I don't know. I don't have to know. I just know he will. I know he will be my verse 33. I know that that is a kingdom law that he instituted. I had nothing to do with this. He instituted this law. It's kingdom law. It's kingdom law. So it can't be overturned. Here's the thing. There are no liberal judges in the kingdom of God. So it's never going to be ruled unconstitutional. And the only people who voted on it in the first place were the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. And since they're one, they were unanimous in the vote. And they're not going to contradict themselves, so they're not going to rule their own laws unconstitutional. We got it made. You can't lose. Here's the problem. We're not taught this enough. We haven't heard this enough. We've been taught everything but. The Father already knows what we know. That's verse 32. But he's trying to get us to know what we don't know. That's verse 33. And when we increase in the knowledge of what we don't currently know relative to the kingdom, he says, all these things will be added unto you. So, why haven't people been teaching us this? Why have they only been teaching us offerings? Tithing, sowing, giving. Why is that the only thing they've been teaching us? It's because that's all they know. It's because that's all they know, or they are bona fide crooks and liars. Because if you know this truth, but you still hammer people for offerings and tell them that's the only way they're going to be blessed, I would not want to be in your shoes on Judgment Day. So I'm not going to say that's it. I'm going to say they don't know. Well, for crying out loud, guys, if they don't know, why would I want to keep listening to them? Why would I want to go to a church where it's being pastored by somebody who really doesn't understand just this much about the kingdom? Here's the thing. It's not like this is so Greeky, King Jamesy, you can't understand it. I mean, this is just plain old, easy-to-understand English. In fact, you take a young little child who knows how to read, you know, third grade, fourth grade, whatever, and they read this. They're going to tell you what verse 33 means. They'll be able to look right at you and it says, well, it says, God wants you to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. Well, what does that mean, Johnny? Well, it means seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. All these things will be added unto you. But Johnny, help me understand. Don't I have to give money? Well, it doesn't say that. Don't I have to tithe here? Well, it doesn't say that either. Well, don't I have to sow? Well, it doesn't say that. I mean, I don't know. I mean, all it says here is, seek first, it'll be added on. This is like elementary kingdom stuff. This is not really deep calleth unto deep. Seek first the kingdom. How do I do that? Meditate in the Word. Study to show myself approved. Because the Word's the only written source. Pray in the Holy Ghost. That's my only spiritual source. That's it. And I do that. And you know what? Kingdom life in me begins to rise up and it begins to dominate every aspect of my life, including what I believe. And not only that, but things will begin to be added unto me. But as things begin to be added unto me, I don't want to get caught up in the, it will be the 10,000 square foot house added unto me. It will be $80 steak dinners every night added unto me. It will. You see what I'm saying? It will not be the opulent world's way of it. It will. My needs will be met. These things will be added unto me. Here's the thing. If I'm seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, I'm going to come to the place of learning to be content with such things as I have. I'll be content in the kingdom because I'll realize, man, I may be here on this earth, but I'm a citizen of the eternal kingdom. This is only temporary. What is waiting for me? I have no clue how great it will be. But I get it. I will get it. So in the meantime, I don't have to have the biggest and best and the fastest and the shiniest and the goldest and the silverest and the platinumest and the diamondest. I don't have to have all that. Nice things are nice. That's why they're called nice things. If I seek first the kingdom of God, the things the Father knows I need will be added unto me. And if it ever happens to where someday somebody hands me a $25,000 Rolex watch, my suspicion is going to be, I may not have this for long because I am uncomfortable wearing anything that heavy and blingy. I'm just going to keep seeking first the kingdom of God. Maybe I'll take that watch and put it in my storehouse till He tells me to give it to you. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, Brother Martin, seek the kingdom, seek the kingdom. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Amen.